Hello and welcome to The Current Moment, where we keep you current on all things KC Current. My name is Tom Baum, and today I am joined by my pal, who is a gal. Yes, you know her, Leslie from Gal Pal Sports. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. So exciting.
I'm very, very excited. So we are going to just briefly review the match that Current had against Chicago Stars in Bridgeview last Saturday, a 1-3 victory for KC Current. Goal scored by Bia in the 34th minute, assisted by Haley Mace, which Kansas City Current has several defenders, second in the league in assists, and Haley Mace is one of them, which is kind of great to think about. Tim Wachewinga scoring her inevitable goal in the 41st minute, assisted by Bia. KC native Shea Groom scoring in the 52nd minute off of a Sam Staub set piece that Shea Groom actually drew the foul on. Shea Groom has played for several different teams in this league, and it always seems like she's able to score against KC. It's like that little hometown feeling. And then on a corner kick in the 60th minute, Kayla Sharple scored to make it 3-1, assisted by Izzy Rodriguez, another defender with an assist. In this match, KC Current pretty much let Chicago have the ball, 54% possession to 46% possession. Leslie, you were at the match. What, as someone who is at all of Chicago's matches, what impressed you about KC Current in this particular match?
I would say the Current's patience for just waiting for the right moment to inflict their will and their doom on the match. Was the first maybe 15, 20 minutes, it did just kind of feel like the two teams were just kind of poking each other and backing off just to see what would give. And there just came a moment, I don't know if I could pinpoint just one, but there came a moment maybe 15, 20 minutes in where it just seemed like now Kansas City is in control and they are dictating when the ball is going downfield and who gets the chances. And it went from being like a kind of even situation to Kansas City's first goal is inevitable. And it was.
And do you think that that's like a result of Chicago being a little bit more wide open? Like, I know that Claire Hutton did not play in this particular match. Rocky Rodriguez started for her. And I watching the match, I thought that would maybe be an advantage for Chicago, but it almost seems like they don't have the midfield personnel to take advantage of that.
You would presume correctly. The Stars have been just a thorn in my side all season, but they're right now they're just trying to work. Like, I am not the most sophisticated of soccer minds. I'll preface this with that. But they have kind of shifted into this like 3-4-3 situation where they're also just like trying to get Sam Staub into spaces where she can be a dangerous attacker. So I would say the stars are having a bit of an identity crisis right now. They obviously what became known after a lengthy interview with Richard Foytz is that they intend to be this possession dominated team. But as many, many bright minds in the women's soccer space have said, they are not necessarily equipped to play that sort of game. It's a very young team. And I think there are big dreams, maybe, but maybe not quite equipped to pursue those big dreams.
Gotcha. I know that we've talked a lot about Jamise Joseph not getting starts in places that make you kind of scratch your head. And then when she does get starts, she usually is pretty productive. It does seem that like the combination of Lola Bonta and Rocky Rodriguez were able to keep her silent. But that was that more of a function of her playing in the midfield, or more of a function of her of what Kansas City's game plan was to take her out of the match, to keep her disconnected from Ludmilla?
Yeah, I would say Kansas City just in general did a really good job of making sure that the Stars couldn't get into dangerous spaces. And I think Jamise Joseph was trying her darndest to have an impact in this game, but I think Kansas City probably watched a lot of film on her, as she's been a bright spot for the Stars. And, you know, if you have a team that's not performing very well and they have this one spot that has been a bit of a constant for them, it's pretty easy to focus your concentration on that one player. And I think that that's likely the case here.
This was the first match that without Alana Cook, second match. It was the first match on the road without Alana Cook for Kansas City Current. And I was a bit concerned that the combination of players like Ludmilla and Jamise Joseph would be able to take advantage of that. Was that something that, like, I know that Chicago is currently at the bottom of the table, but like as a fan, like as someone who takes in their matches, like was that kind of like your quote unquote copium? Was like, okay, they're down to, you know, they're not like they don't have their starting center back in. Like, is this where we're going to be able to find some joy and take advantage and maybe put the ball in the back of the net?
I would say the first hit of copium I got was when that availability report came out and they're like, oh, Temba Tuinga questionable. Hold on now. Let's not lose all hope and despair right now. But of course, you know, Temba played like 90-ish minutes, so that dream died quickly. The Alana Cook partnership has been kind of a thing, hasn't it? Where it's like trying to figure out what is that best pairing for Kansas City. And I don't know what it is about Kayla Sharples coming home, but there's something about whenever she's playing against the Red Stars at home, she seems to have a really good match. So perhaps she got a little turbocharged in that moment.
Well, I think she's actually like had a couple of different headers, headed goals in this season, because I think she has 3 goals on the season. So she's been pretty dangerous in the air, especially on set pieces, which is interesting because Kansas City, even though they've given allowed the fewest goals in the league, most of the goals that they have allowed have been on set pieces and corners. So as a fan, I know that like one of the things that I've been kind of leery about is like, oh God, they can't allow this corner because it's lights out. Like it's going to be over. And even to that point, like Shea Groom's goal was off of a set piece. I mean, don't get me wrong, that delivery from Sam Staub was a dime. Mm-hmm. And I mean, she can do that with regularity. But I think that like, limiting those fouls in dangerous areas and those opportunities for corners has probably been what's been working for Casey's defense the best.
Yeah, and like Chicago haven't been a dangerous team on set pieces this season. I don't want to, I can't say for certain if that was their first goal on a set piece, but, you know, one out of the six goals that they've scored. So it's a very small sample size.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I would say that the teams that can shut down on set pieces are generally pretty successful. And I would say Kansas City has been a successful team this season and last. So it suffices to say that they have been pretty good, but to see any sort of crack in their armor as this juggernaut in these past two seasons is very interesting.
So as the match winds down, I think both teams like had some injuries that like made you kind of go, oh God. Yes. I think, what was it? Like it was in stoppage time that, Alyssa Nair went out, with an apparent hand injury. I haven't seen any availability reports or any releases, about it.
Yeah.
But what was your thinking on, when that happened?
Yeah, it was something that, like, Tembo Chwenga just got her point blank in, like, the save looked a little awkward, just, like, on the replay, but the replay didn't really have enough angles to show just what the full brunt of the injury might be, and I think that's what caused a little bit of confusion for the broadcasters, who were like, "Oh, she looks, maybe she's holding her abdomen." It's like, no, I think she probably got it off a hand, arm, wrist situation. And I mean, Alyssa Nair is not a player who goes down for anything.
Right.
Like, I think even when she hurt her knee at the last Olympics in Tokyo, she tried to continue playing on and couldn't. And she did the same here, where she, you know, every time you looked at her, she was like shaking her hand, trying to do something with it. And to see her like take a knee and kind of call it when it's like the 90th minute, it's a little unsettling. It's not what you want to see as a fan, for sure. As anyone, I don't think wants to see that. And yeah, we don't have word yet from the Stars, but I would think that given Alyssa Nair's non-penchants for entertaining injuries during a game, I would venture that perhaps this could be something that will cause her to miss some time. Obviously don't know for sure, but this is just my experience of watching Alyssa Nair in the last few years. But
yeah,
Haley Makovits gets her first minutes, and no better way to just, it's like you're standing at the edge of the pier and you're like, all right, kid, swim.
Yep, basically. Yeah, because my thought as a Chicago fan was like, they got to be thinking it went from worse to worser. Like when you see her, like,
so bad,
like go so off bad. The field, like. Also around the same time, Tim Wachowinga, who, as you stated, was on the injury report and listed as questionable, also was subbed off, and she went directly through the tunnel. There has not been any word from the team as of yet. Malawi did not play any friendlies in this particular window. I don't believe that they qualified for WAFCON, so they might not call her in anyway. But that is also scary for Casey Current, seeing as how they already are missing Dabinia, and Michelle Cooper is coming back from injury. And even though she was called into the national team, Emma Hayes did say that Michelle Cooper is on an injury, on a minutes restriction, both for training and playing. So you wonder where that wing depth is going to come from, especially when Mary Long is off on international duty with the U-20s, qualifying for the that World Cup. So I think Vladko might have to get creative in that wing space. I think I wanted to
at least the
go ahead. No, go ahead.
The good news, though, at least, is that the transfer window is imminent, and if you're not the Stars, you might spend money in the transfer window. So I would give it. Given you have owners who have invested heavily in this organization, I would think the current might want to take a peek, have a stroll through the transfer market, see what's available, see who's around.
Maybe they did just buy a Danish club though, so they're, you know, maybe their funds are not what they want it to be for this transfer window.
Honey, I'm not liquid right now.
Correct. yeah, I saw that news earlier this week, and I was like, oh, well, okay. I guess they wanted to get their Michelle Kang on, and whatever. Like,
that's what the owners are doing these days. Everyone's buying a club in Europe.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if folks are being serious, the next thing is going to be, folks buying a club in Argentina? Are they buying a club in Brazil? Are they buying a club in Mexico? Because I think that might be a model that might be more sustainable for ownership groups that don't have the deepest pockets, basically. And it would be it's a good investment, obviously. I think I want to end on this note. The last two road matches, you definitely saw a lot of Casey Current support in the crowd in Orlando. And in this match at Bridgeview, like, what is that? Is that something that you see a lot at SeatGeek? Like, is the traveling supporter section that full, or is that kind of unique to KC Blue Crew? Which, shout out to them, because they definitely showed out.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever seen a visiting section at SeatGeek Stadium. I don't think I've ever seen, and like, you know, I've only been there the past two or three seasons, so who's to say it hasn't happened before, but definitely the first time in recent memory where the traveling support has been in such a force. And like the players were showing their love. It was, I think it was a really good moment for the players and the fans to have that experience. I mean, SeatGeek Stadium is not the most attended place in the NWSL for many reasons, but good news is it's just up the road from Kansas City. So if you're inclined to travel, it's an easy away day trip to take. And yeah, I think that's cool. I wish we could see more of it in the NWSL. I mean, I think we see a bit of it going from like Los Angeles to San Diego.
Sure.
But that's a 3-hour road trip. That one's an easy one to do. But I think it's cool to see that kind of love and devotion to a team that they'll go all that way.
Yeah, I would agree. And again, shout out to Blue Crew. Danielle, I see you working hard getting those folks in line. Kirsten, you too. So that was pretty cool to see. Well, Leslie, I'm so happy that you were able to hop on and join me today. Please let the audience know where they can find you and all of the awesome work that you are up to.
Oh, well, I say my thanks to you for having me on. And I do have a quick question, actually.
Sure.
I just got an email from the KC Current Communications Department about a media soccer game. Will you be playing that game?
My RSVP is in my drafts. We'll put it that way. It is in my
drafts. I had to know.
That's a true capital J journalist right there, like asking the hard hitting questions, like by the like lull you into a sense of security of like, I need to know this.
Look out for that story. But I can be found on Blue Sky on Instagram at I think I'm just Leslie Ryder on Blue Sky. Ryder really on Instagram. You can follow Gal Pal Sports at Gal Pal Sports across just about all the platforms except for the one we don't go to anymore. Yeah.
We don't go there.
We don't go there.
We do not.
It's not a happy place.
It is not. Well, thank you so much, Leslie. It was a pleasure talking to you. And thank you all for listening. This has been The Current Moment, where we keep you current on all things KC Current. And we will talk to you very soon. Yeah.